Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.
Now, you're welcome back. Lena Foley's still here, and I'm delighted to say Graeme Shaw has made time for us. We've been mentioning before the break that the Irish team have a massive game tomorrow. Just to give you a sense of the journey they've been on, the Irish players Nicky Evans and Katie Mullen and Roisin Upton were with Lena on the Off the Bench podcast a couple of weeks ago, looking ahead to the World Cup, and Katie Mullen summed up then the team's aims for the tournament.
We're even saying outside, Katie, that like the rankings from kind of 5 to 16, you reckon anybody could beat anybody on the day?
Yeah, definitely. And I think we definitely as a team carry that fighting Irish mentality, you know, where we can defend for our lives and score on the breakaway. And I know from you here in the hockey world, there's no nation out there that want to be drawn against Ireland
really? Yeah.
In crossovers, because on any given day we'll be a tough side to beat. So I think we take a lot of confidence in that. That's how other nations view us. And as Nicky said, the first goal is to get out of our group, and then we take each game as they come after that.
Well, they've certainly done that, and they've had a brilliant group stage, and they're in a World Cup quarterfinal tomorrow, 6 o'clock in London. And I'm delighted to say the Irish head coach, Graeme Shaw, has made time for us. Evening, Graeme.
Good evening. How are you?
Very well. So, first part done. Katie Mullen said, let's get out of the group. Ireland have done that in absolutely brilliant fashion. I presume you're running around somewhere in a hotel in London this evening trying to put the finishing touches and things?
Yeah, just finished our last preparation meeting. So, let the girls off now just to review a few clips that we've given them. And then tomorrow morning, then we'll catch up again for a quick recap. And then hopefully then all guns blazing then Thursday, tomorrow evening at 6 o'clock.
When you have a meeting like that on the eve of a match, I always remember Ronan O'Gara, Paul O'Connell, some of the Munster players talking about when they first started getting into finals, Heineken Cup finals. They had one in particular, they had a meeting the night before and actually started talking about what it meant to them and their families and what Munster meant to them. And half of them were in tears, and actually they felt they emotionally drained themselves for the next day. I presume this evening you want to keep it very process driven, nice and calm, have a look at your clips, or did you get a little bit of emotion going in the meeting?
No, very much process orientated. I've read about that myself, actually. So it's a lesson that we've learned, is not to bring too much emotion to such a big game. So just looking, focusing on performance, focusing on the process, and minute by minute, exactly how we'll manage different phases, and looking obviously at the strengths of opposition, and then obviously looking at where we can exploit them. So very very much just focusing on trying to perform. We know that if we perform well, then we can get the result.
Yeah, so it's India again tomorrow, who you've already beaten in the group stages. So this should be easy, right?
I wouldn't say so. They're a very, very good side. They're a very different style to what we'd be used to in Europe. Very direct, very skillful. Take you on a lot in 1v1 situations, and they'll provide a real different style of play than we normally used to. But now, as you said, we played them before. We played them in the pool, and probably didn't perform to the level we would have liked to have performed in the pool. We defended very, very well, and obviously took our opportunity when we got it. But so we're looking to improve on that performance and see if we can impose our game a little bit more, and particularly in the attacking end.
And Graeme, they had a crossover game that you didn't have, and they beat Italy 3-0, which is interesting to see them. That's the most goals they've scored in this tournament. And I wondered how much of that game, how much of use is that for you to see that game, to see what they did in that game?
I think it's always useful to watch your opposition. I felt that Italy really played within themselves. The game was not really played at a quick enough tempo that we're hoping to bring now tomorrow. So from that point of view, it was quite difficult. And I think it was just a reminder to the girls that this is not the speed we're going to play at, because it looked like Italy were trying not to lose it as opposed to try and go and win it. And I think there's a real difference in mentality when you approach a game like that. And we most certainly won't be approaching the game of that, because we want to put India on the back foot and ask questions of them in the attacking end. And Italy didn't do that. They played a very slow game, and I think they got punished because of it.
I haven't watched much hockey, I must say, I watched a good bit in Rio, and it was, you know, kind of blew me away. Brilliant sport. Probably didn't appreciate how physically demanding a sport it is, I must say, until 4 years ago. You talked about India being quite direct, so, and you said they'll take players on one-on-one. Can you give us a sense of the different styles that we do see in hockey? Like, is there a ticky-tacky version of hockey? You know, we see Spain in football at the World Cup. Are there teams who go out and just possession, possession, possession? And then I presume when you say India are direct, they're trying to get from one end of the field in as few passes as possible. Is that what you mean? And where do Ireland fit into the whole spectrum?
Yeah, you're spot on, Joe. I mean, what ends up happening is in the European style, they're very possession orientated and they try accumulate many passes where they can, you know, work the spaces and work the overloads. While India don't necessarily do that, sometimes they don't even transfer the ball. They go down the ball side and they make short combinations between each other, and then they rely on individual skill. And then if that kind of gets blocked, they tend to go very, very direct. So they just tend to smash it at your circle, and sometimes they smash it in an above knee height, and sometimes that can be really difficult to defend because you need to be really concentrating and making sure that you you defend those long balls. You switch off for 1 second, the ball pops in behind you, and then they get an opportunity really out of nothing. So that's the area we need to focus on. We need to get numbers around the ball, make it very difficult for them so they, you know, we can stop those attacks effectively at source so they can't actually directly hit our circle. And I think if we can manage to do that and negate the 1v1 elimination, then and make it more difficult. Yeah, the European, we in Ireland would tend to hold a lot of possession, which, I'm being perfectly honest, frustrates the life out of me when I watch sometimes the club game, because I would prefer if we seen individual players take a little bit more responsibility and eliminate players and receive to go forward. We tend to go backwards and sideways a little bit too much in the club game, and hopefully now, obviously the success over here, we can maybe introduce a different style when we get back.
Graeme, the interesting thing that in your game against India was that it was 33 degrees, I think, that day, and it was your fitness and your drive. And the Indians looked like they were melting in the heat, and I just wondered, like for amateur players, how do they get to that level of fitness, and who's been doing all that work with them?
Well, we have a superb S&C in Darren Kenna. Darren Kenna came involved with us in 2016 when we started this World Cup campaign in Malaysia. And he's done an absolutely incredible job in getting the girls as conditioned as they are now. But also, it's the players. I mean, you can set programs and you can obviously encourage them and drive them to do it. It's how they also live their lives, impeccably. Everything they do is for the Green Army, and it shows in the shapes of their body. It shows in how they're able to keep going into those last 15-20 minutes of games, because I'd honestly say, even though we're not a full-time program compared to, you know, 80% of the teams here, I would say we're one of the fittest. And I think that's just, you got to take your hat off to Darren and the girls and how they've approached things and how fit we've got now over the last 2 years.
Is this all going how you kind of expected, hoped? Have the level of performance surprised you, or were you very kind of close to confident that you'd get out of the group and get to these kind of stages?
If I'm being honest, I don't think quarterfinal, going directly to quarterfinal was really in our minds. I think we were looking to pick up results in each game, and then hopefully that would put us into the playoff, and then they come down to once-off games.
Yeah.
But then on the flip side, I think we've always known that we have a very, very strong team, and maybe results haven't gone our way in the past. We have some really, really top individual players in our team, and collectively we just work incredibly hard, and they stay very well organized and structured together. So is a surprise. It's not a surprise that we pushed the big teams. I think it's a massive achievement to obviously beat USA and then go on and follow it up and then beat India. I think it's a really, really difficult thing to win two games in a major competition. I think you can see it in actually the World Cup. I think only three teams have done it, where they've actually only won, three teams have won two games and two games on the bounce. So, yeah, we've always known, as I said, that we have that inner belief that we can push these teams. But there's one thing having a belief, and there's a second thing then backing it up. And I think, as I said, the girls fully deserve the two wins and fully deserve everything, all the publicity they're getting because of it, because they put a magnificent effort into it.
We were just talking before here about publicity and about the amount of attention you've been getting. And at the weekend, the Limerick hurling manager, the minute they got into the All-Ireland, finally went in and said to the press, you know, nobody's to contact the players, I'm going to shut it down, you know, immediately controlling the press. And I was curious as to why you have, how have you managed to control it, and how have you remained so open to it?
I think it's probably the approach we've taken from the start of the tournament is to enjoy every moment. So if that means that people need to do interviews and speak to people and spread the word about our sport, well, then that needs to be done. Now, I'm going to be honest, as when we're getting closer to this big game now, maybe starting to try and manage it a little bit.
Of course.
And get on top of it a little bit, because, obviously now we've got a job to do, and that's the most important thing. Yes, we want to spread the word, and we want our sport to maybe get the recognition it deserves. But now I think we've agreed today, just in that team meeting now, it's all focused on the game. So interviews and all that now, we'll have to wait till after this quarterfinal.
Well, I think that's fair enough at this stage. I saw a great tweet from Kieran Cunningham, the journalist with the Irish Star, and he said hockey would be a lot more popular in this country if we just called it ground hurling, which which is pretty good. What kind of playing pool are you working with, Graeme?
Yeah, I think hockey's played in a lot of schools initially around the country. I don't have an exact figure on it, exactly where we sit as regards that, but it's played predominantly in Munster, Cork, Limerick, in Dublin predominantly. Obviously, some counties just outside of Dublin, and then in Ulster. Maybe Connacht is maybe not as strong, but it's we're building it in Connacht at the moment. Predominantly, our players would come from at the moment. I think in the 18 here, we've got maybe two from Munster, and then the rest of them then would make up between Dublin and the North.
Right.
So. We've got the players in this country. It's just trying to get them the resources and get them the structure right for them so they can succeed. And I think that's something that we're obviously going to address in a big way when we get home, is to make sure that we can provide opportunities for young players now to come up to the underage programs and achieve their dreams by playing in World Cups, Olympic Games, and hopefully targeting medals down the road, because that's where we're sitting right now, and that's hopefully where we can continue.
So it's tomorrow, start 6 o'clock. The match is going to be on RT2 as well. So, I mean, wow. I mean, like, this is fantastic. It's proof that things are going well when the whole country is going to be watching this tomorrow. An amazing thing for all of you guys.
Yeah, that's absolutely fantastic. Absolutely delighted that RT and they are getting behind and showing the support. And we're just hoping, as I said, the wider community will start to watch the game, and we're hoping to put on a real show that you can all be really proud of.
Yeah, for sure. What's your plan this evening then? Try and relax and get some sleep.
I was wondering that as well. How do you keep a team relaxed the night before a World Cup quarterfinal?
Actually, tonight they're doing a little bit of an entertainment, a little bit of a quiz, trying to get a bit of fun element again into it. Try to switch their minds off. We've done all the prep now. It's not about preparing. We know the details. We know where we need to be very, very careful and how we need to defend different situations, and we know where we're going to attack and how we're going to impose our game. So now it's just about just trying to relax and try to get into that. Yeah, just chill out a little bit. People will do different things. People might watch a movie. People will listen to music. And they love spending time with each other, which is a really fantastic thing within this group. They really enjoy each other's company, and they have real fun. And you can see it in their faces. They're constantly laughing and smiling and joking. And I think that's a real sign of a team's in a good place. So, yes, different things will happen. There's also the quarterfinals are on this evening. So we are lucky to have that in our hotel room. So people will be able to relax and just watch the other quarterfinals and maybe get a sense, I suppose, for the atmosphere at the ground and also to see how the teams approach games, because sometimes you can watch a team and you can kind of say, just, okay, we're not going to go like that, because they look a little bit nervous and they look a little bit like they're not taking risk and they want to play the safe game, and that's not how we're going to play. So many different ways to relax and hopefully, as I said, get a good night's sleep and wake up in the morning and full of energy, ready to go.
Great. Well, listen, World Cup quarterfinals don't come around in any walk of life very often. So the very, very, very best of luck tomorrow, and try and enjoy it, I guess. And thanks so much for your time this evening. Man, there's not many sports where we get the Irish head coach on the eve of World Cup quarterfinals. So thanks a million, Graeme. Much appreciated.
Listen, I appreciate all your support back home. It means a lot to us. So thank you very much.
Best of luck.
Off the Ball.
Find us on Twitter at Off the Ball.
News Talk 106 to 108.